رمضان
yes.
الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. So, yes, of course, and also in the other ayat of the Holy Quran, again, it is mentioned that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Explicitly, Quran says that كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ means siyam and fasting is wajib, and it's ordered by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you people to have to fast in this holy month the way that it was wajib and obligatory and mandatory on the other nations, other people before you Muslims. So of course, as you rightly mentioned, siyam or fasting was not only for Muslims. Before Islam, the rest of the people, the rest of the nations were also fasting. But of course, fasting in this holy month of Ramadan
yes.
is explicitly mentioned in the ayat of the Holy Quran. Yes,
that's right.
Surah Baqarah, ayah number okay. 185.
That's right. So this Shah for sure is 30 month. Consecutive, yes. we can say, and continuous days of fasting. Was it so at the time of Prophet Muhammad too?
Or yes, exactly. Islam? Of course, Prophet himself fasted in the holy month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm, the whole days, that's right.
Yes.
Scientific discoveries have shown also that 30 days of fasting continuously will help the body very much in order to be cleaned out of, for example, most of the, that's right, impurities or something like that. I mean, even bodily cleanliness is reached through fasting for 30 days too.
Yes, you know, nowadays there are lots of diseases and sicknesses yes. which are due to the way or let's say the lifestyle that we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you go to the doctors and physicists, they say that, of course, you have to, for example, control not eating this thing or that thing for example, some months or for some days, for some weeks. Of course, it's one of the ways that cure many illnesses in our body. The fasting, which is a kind of fasting.
Yes.
As you rightly mentioned, yes, the holy month of Ramadan, when we fast, of course, we again cure actually some sort of illnesses in our bodies.
That's right.
That is, of course, for the benefit of us.
That's all right. During the month of, Ramadan, most of the people are busy with reciting the Holy Quran, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and keeping vigil. But the thirst and the hunger of the month of Ramadan also helps the people in order to somehow be reminded of the situation of the poor people all around the world, isn't it? I mean, when you are 30 days fasting and then your bellies are empty, on that time you are reminded of the poor people and the destitute around the world.
Yes, of course, there are lots of benefits for the holy month of Ramadan and fasting in this holy month of Ramadan. One of them is, as you rightly mentioned, that we understand the situation of the poor and the needy people,
yes.
particularly Muslims, and then we might be motivated to help them, to
yes.
care about them. And the other benefits that could be mentioned in this fasting of the holy month of Ramadan, first of all, our brothers and sisters should know that we always fast. You know, some kind of fasting is that we always observe. For example, you know, we always control ourselves not to eat certain things.
Yes.
Not to say certain words. Not to listen certain things.
Yes.
Not to see and watch certain things. Not
yes.
to, for example, act certain ways.
That's right.
That's why this kind of controllings that we always have, it is a kind of fasting. It is a kind of self-controlling.
Yes.
In the holy month of Ramadan, what happens is that just we increase some of these self-controlling on eating, for example,
yes.
on drinking, on sometimes even saying or uttering any words,
right.
visiting things, actioning, acting. These are the things that we just observe in our life
yes.
normally, and it is not something very much strange. That's why this self-controlling has lots of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It empowers us to discover these kind of hidden capabilities of our own selves,
yes.
that how much strong I am, to control, for example, not to visit those things, not to see those things, not to act those ways, not to utter bad words, you know,
yes.
not to hear and listen to bad things. So, of course, when you control yourself not to committing bad actions, bad deeds, then, of course, it perfects you.
Yes, that's
it
right.
gives you a better life. It helps you to enjoy a better life.
Okay. Thank you much, Sheikh Rouhani. Let's take a break. And after the break, I will come with the second question about the month of Ramadan. It was very kind of you. Dear listeners, taking a break. I'm back in a minute. Allah, Allah, Allah.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praise to Allah, all glory to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. You're listening to the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani is here to answer today's question. Okay, according to so many ahadith and Islamic beliefs, the Satan is chained in the month of Ramadan or imprisoned in the month of Ramadan. So why is it so that if he is chained, some people during Ramadan commit sins?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you know that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always provides us with the opportunities, with the chances.
Yes.
To be pure, to stay pure and clean from any kind of, let's say, dirtiness or sins or committing crimes, for example. That is why in this holy month, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows the special kind of, his special blessings upon the mu'mineen and the faithful. One is this, that Satan is chained in this holy month and he has no power to deceive and misguide, for example, the people. Those Shaitan, they do not have the power to forcefully, let's say, control mankind. Rather, man is with free will, and he freely decides either to follow Satan or not. But in this holy month, a specific or a particular kind of blessing and let's say rahmah and ni'mah of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showered on the mu'mineen.
Yes.
And that is why, of course, it helps us better to stay away from committing any sin, any, let's say, crime in this holy month.
That's right. And is it so that the Satan will be concerned with the believers more in this month because he finds them more powerful in worshipping Allah? I mean, the more powerful the believers are, the more Satan tries to, for example, complicate its traps, isn't it?
Yes, of course. The true mu'mineen and the true faithful people are stronger than the normal people, normal mu'mineen, of course. Then the traps of Satan is more strong for these kind of people. As you rightly mentioned, in this holy month of Ramadan, of course, Satan may try his best to deceive the people in the most, let's say, worst way possible. That's why people should also be very much careful and cautious about this holy month of Ramadan, not to commit sin, not to follow Satan, because Satan tries his best to misguide and deceive people more in this holy month of Ramadan, which is the month of Rahmah and Ni'mah.
That's all right. I think you said in one of the episodes of the program that fasting during Ramadan is not only of being hungry and thirsty.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, Satan is going to deceive you through your eyes, ears. What are your practical recommendations in order to be more away from sinning during Ramadan?
The best way is that during the whole year, we must try to be a little bit controlling on ourselves, to control ourselves, to be better controller on our actions or deeds or let's say, every kind of sensations that you have. Because what we commit as sin are either by hearing, by seeing, by, let's say, listening, by speaking, by this kind of powers that we have, we commit sin. If we could have control on these things in the whole year, then of course a holy month of Ramadan becomes very much easy, very much simple for us.
Yes.
If not, if we do not control ourselves during the other months of the year, then of course fasting becomes a bit kind of difficult for us to observe the rulings of this holy month of Ramadan. That's why I think if someone tries his best to be a bit more controller on himself and the other, let's say, months of the year, then of course he would be more prepared and ready for this holy month to fast.
That's all right. And after the holy month of Ramadan is finished, I mean, the fruits of Ramadan must stay, isn't it? In the month of Shawwal and in the coming months of the year. I mean, we have to re-strengthen the spirit of fasting and Ramadan during the coming month of the year, isn't it, Sheikh?
Exactly. Fasting is not, as you said, the fasting is not for only the holy month of Ramadan.
Yes.
It is wajib, obligatory here.
Yes.
But many of these controlling that we do on the holy month of Ramadan, we should continue them. For example, in the holy month of Ramadan, we should not listen to the bad kind of music, haram kind of things. In the holy month of Ramadan, we should not visit and see haram things. We should not drink and eat and taste haram things.
Yes.
We should not perform any other haram kind of things, actions and performance. Same is the case with the other, let's say, months of the year, that we must be very much cautious and careful about not doing, not committing all those things anymore in the other months of the year as well. That's why, to some extent, we have kind of fasting in the other months of year as well, but in this holy month, in this specific kind of action should be performed. Yes.
That's all right. Thank you much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. May Allah help us to safeguard our fasting and the spirit of Ramadan during the other months of the year after the month of Ramadan too. And may Allah help us to worship Him in the best way and to be away from satanic temptations during the month of Ramadan. It was very kind of you, Sheikh Rouhani.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي تهران
روباشافت غازا
جروم هيوز بروسلز
سعيد بورزا لندن
راشا ساغلام اسطنبول
سيد امين علمي كابول
شهان بات اندين ادمنستيرد كشمير
Around the world with reporters.
An unprecedented global movement gaining momentum. Initiated by veteran French lawyer and academic Gilles De Verre, the Army of Lawyers for Palestine now has over 200,000 lawyers of different nationalities on board and still counting as he travels from country to country to promote his grassroots campaign.
We are witnessing a new movement in the world. The atrocities committed in Gaza are no longer only a matter that concerns Muslim countries. Far from it. Here we have a French lawyer that has started an initiative that brought together 300 lawyers from across the world in less than 10 days, and that number grew rapidly to 100,000. And now with the MOU that we have signed at the Iran Judiciary Bar, that number will be rising to 50,000 lawyers. With Iran on board, you can also expect lawyers from Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to join in as well.
and an optimistic Gilles de Verre, who has already filed a complaint of genocide against Israel with the International Criminal Court, demanding an arrest warrant for top Israeli politicians, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
This is going to be a tough battle, without a doubt. But in just a few months, all these lawyers have joined us. This kind of solidarity is unprecedented. We have never seen so many lawyers join hands for one purpose in history. So this is a great sign, because it won't be enough to tell a judge, look, there's no many of us. Instead, we have to be able to defend Palestine with strong legal arguments. And by the looks of things, we have a solid base for that.
His South African fellow companion shedding light on the legal aspects of the matter while explaining how the case brought to the International Court of Justice by South Africa is also paving the way.
The ICJ order specifically spoke about creating a humanitarian corridor and a humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza. The United States and Israel were saying that the word ceasefire did not exist in the ICJ order. But this is not true, because the humanitarian aid on the ground at scale cannot be delivered without an effective and immediate ceasefire.
It is very clear that we are witnessing a birth of new age. A new movement of justice-seeking people from all over the world is emerging, and that is why, while the South African government files a complaint, we see a grassroots movement also taking shape. A very unique one that has brought together lawyers who are seeking justice in the battle between good and evil.
And in the words of these legal experts, this goal is not far from reach.
Lawyers believe that we live in a new era in which this new global initiative will eventually lead to justice for Palestinians. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
An annual meeting of Quran reciters and memorizers with the leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Every year on the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, leader of the Islamic Revolution receives top reciters of the Holy Quran to stress the importance of this very holy book in the lives of Muslims.
In the meeting, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei described the recitation of the Quran as a sacred art, while underlining that the primary objective of this very valuable skill should be to convey the meaning and message of the Quran to the public and society and create the ground for contemplation of the Holy Scripture. Elsewhere in his speech, Ayatollah Khamenei expressed his satisfaction with the abundant number of young Quran reciters in the country, viewing their increase as a blessing of the Islamic Revolution. Meanwhile, referring to the crimes committed by the Zionist regime in Gaza, the leader pointed out that the peak of resilience that is being witnessed in Gaza presently stems from a profound familiarity with and adherence to the teachings of the Quran. Before the meeting, young and experienced reciters and memorizers were very much excited to listen and take a glimpse of the leader.
I am very much excited to recite some verses of the Holy Quran in the presence of the leader. But this is a great opportunity for me to see the leader.
This is the third time I have the honor of attending such a great event. Today I am going to have supplications to recite about the holy month of Ramadan.
Other reciters were worried about the people of Gaza, who are observing the holy month of Ramadan amid the Israeli bombing and shelling campaign.
The month of Ramadan is the month of mercy and blessing. I do believe that during this month, the Zionist regime will face a big defeat.
At the end of the ceremony, the Quran reciters and memorizers held congregational prayers led by the leader of the Islamic Revolution and broke their fast together. Sama Kujuri, Tehran.
Iran, Russia, and China have conducted the main phase of a joint naval drill dubbed Maritime Security Belt 2024. After arriving at the northern part of the Indian Ocean, the vessels of the three countries practiced different operations. The joint drills took place in 17,000 square kilometers of water in a region that is an internationally crucial hub for energy and trade traffic. The first phase of the naval drills included live firing at designated surface targets in the Sea of Oman. various vessels, and fast attack crafts from the IRGC were also involved in the exercise. The vessels were armed with the state-of-the-art homegrown advanced weapons. The next phase included the PhotoX exercise and offensive formations. The helicopters of the Islamic Republic of Iran Navy and the IRGC monitored the region in all stages of the exercise. Iran's Navy commander hailed the exercise as a successful endeavor to improve maritime cooperation of the contributing countries. The commander also said that Iran expects the drills to expand in the future.
This year, as we expected, regarding the types of vessels participating in the exercise, both China and Russia have increased the variety as well as tonnage of the vessels. So hopefully, we expect more countries to join the drills in the future, especially regional states.
Admiral Irani also stated that regional nations have the capacity to confront piracy and terrorism by enhancing cooperation. The exercises are the latest in joint drills by Iran, China, and Russia. Iran says regional countries are most welcome to take part in the drills that are going to take place in the future. The Islamic Republic has time and again stressed that regional countries are the ones that are truly in charge of establishing security in the region. Mahdi Abbasian, Konarak.
On the first day of the holy month of Ramadan in Nigeria, the Islamic movement held a rally through the streets of the capital, Abuja, in a peaceful protest against the massacre of innocent civilians in Gaza. The protest march took the demonstrators to the gate of the United States Embassy, where they sat down and submitted a letter of protest condemning the Israeli genocide in Gaza and U.S. involvement in the killing of innocent Palestinians.
America is one of the major party in this killing of innocent female and children in Gaza. Since October 7th to date, they have killed 31,000, more than 31,000 innocent people, majorly female and children in Gaza.
The demonstrators blame the United States and British governments for using their influence to block a UN resolution calling for a ceasefire. They said every decent government has condemned the Israeli terror attacks on the Palestinians, but the US government has continued to support the mass murder of innocent Palestinians.
They are killing female and children. They are imposing starvation on innocent female and children. Babies have been seen under rubble, crying inside blood. We see a lot of fathers carrying a lifeless body of their children killed by Israelis. Anybody that has concern for humanity should come out today on the street and show his solidarity with Palestinians.
The demonstrators burned the U.S. and Israeli flags as they slammed Tel Aviv's regime impunity and the silence of the international community.
Many Muslims in Nigeria believe that Israel's continuous killing of Palestinians in Gaza on the eve of the holy month of Ramadan is a clear proof of the regime's disrespect for Islamic sanctities. The protesters here are urging world leaders to pressure Israel to end the massacre in Gaza. Anjum Abdullahi, Abuja.
Britons treat their National Health Service, better known as the NHS, with an almost religious reverence.
We grow up using the NHS from the cradle to the grave, free at the point of use, and that has tremendous significance for our lives.
But today, this eternal source of national pride is under increased scrutiny, with new figures showing more than 120,000 people died last year in England alone from delays in life-saving treatment. The NHS is a state-funded healthcare system founded in 1948. Back then, it cost around $20 billion in today's money to run. Last year, the government spent more than $181 billion. Despite that, more than 7 million people are now on the waiting list in England alone. That's nearly 12% of the population having to wait at least 52 weeks for a health consultation.
our politicians aren't really serving the public interest. They are serving a neoliberal agenda, which is to transfer the country's natural assets and wealth to overseas corporations like United Health of America and other big multinationals.
The government has promised to cut the long queues, but has made little progress. The situation is no better in the rest of the kingdom. In Scotland and Northern Ireland, 1 in 80 people, and in Wales, 1 in 20 are having to wait more than a year for treatment. There's also the energy costs and inflation that has reduced the value of the NHS budget, meaning it now has to do more with significantly less. Add to the mix a shortage of staff, which means more pressure on exhausted employees.
We've had more than a decade of defunding since the financial crash. This has led to a real terms wage cut for staff. The whole population, the health needs have gone up. We have trouble keeping hold of staff. And we've also lost significant capacity with the NHS through privatisation. So we don't have enough beds, we don't have enough staff, and the staff we do have are being treated appallingly.
The health service is also coping with an ageing population. A large number of people now live with chronic conditions like heart disease and diabetes. The COVID-19 pandemic severely tested the NHS, with its aftermath still posing serious challenges. Health officials and experts warn for the UK's National Health Service to survive, the next government should declare it a national emergency. Saipur is up, London.
India says it will enact the Citizenship Amendment Act that provides fast-track naturalization for multiple religious groups who fled to India from Afghanistan, Bangladesh and Pakistan before 2014. The law, however, excludes Muslims from those countries. Back in 2019, law's approval sparked deadly protests across the country and was halted since. The Muslim minority in India fears the government is using this law and other similar laws to widen crackdown on them.
India introduced this bill in 2016 with the aim of granting citizenship to what it calls a persecuted section of refugees. However, the bill has become one of the most controversial issues across the country since it excludes Muslims from availing citizenship. Critics accuse the ruling BJP of targeting a particular community on the basis of faith, which experts call unconstitutional.
Commentators also question the exclusion of persecuted religious minorities from other regions such as Tibet, Sri Lanka and Myanmar. India's Interior Ministry has said in a statement those eligible can now apply online for Indian citizenship. The issue has been one of the key pledges of Indian Prime Minister since assuming office in 2014. The new legislation makes changes to more than six decades old Indian citizenship law.
It's unfortunate for us that we are not part of this new law, despite the fact we have faced worse persecution any community has faced so far. We have still hope one day India will accept us on the ground of humanity.
Opposition political parties have accused the ruling party of influencing the elections, saying the move is to polarize the voters, considering its timing. More than 200 petitions challenging the law are still pending before the court of law.
We thank India they provide us shelter. It's an act of kindness, but we urge this country not to abandon us, knowing the fact we have seen deadly violence and persecution.
India, home to roughly 200 million Muslims, have recently seen targeted attacks and vicious hate campaigns. Critics accuse the ruling party of mixing religion with politics, resonating with India's majority. Munawar Zaman, New Delhi.
Russia Navy Warship, and China Navy Warship. This is Iranian Navy Warship 235, Italian Channel 16. Do you read me? Over.
The Maritime Security Belt 2024 has officially kicked off with Russian and Chinese vessels entering Iran's territorial waters south of the country on Tuesday. The naval and airborne units of Iran's army and the IRGC, along with their Chinese and Russian counterparts, will participate in various operations during this exercise. Naval delegations from Azerbaijan, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Oman and South Africa have also taken part as observer states. At the first stage of the drill, the naval officers of the three countries as well as the observer states reviewed different phases of the exercise on maps and held tactical briefings. Later, the naval commanders of Iran, Russia and China held a joint presser. The Iranian Navy's deputy commander said the main aim of the joint exercise is to help safeguard security in the northern part of the Indian Ocean.
Upholding peace and security in the north of Indian Ocean and having a specialized cooperation in combating piracy and terrorism in our region are among the main goals of this exercise. We are constantly working to improve this cooperation.
Meanwhile, Chinese and Russian Navy commanders said the joint exercise further demonstrates the preparedness of the participating countries to maintain security while also deepening their practical cooperation. 2024 is the fifth consecutive year that the Islamic Republic of Iran's Navy is hosting countries participating in the Maritime Security Belt drills in the northern Indian Ocean region.
This year's naval drills have kicked off under the motto Together for Peace and Security, with participating countries highlighting the importance of jointly safeguarding regional security. Mahdia Bosyan, Konarak.
This is not the first time Palestinian people are spending Ramadan under Israeli aggression. In 2014, the Israeli regime also waged a destructive war on Gaza during the holy month. However, the current genocidal war is unprecedented in terms of its colossal casualties. Many Palestinians have become orphans and widows and lost their children. The memory of their loved ones will stay with them in Ramadan.
The life here is so difficult. The holy month of Ramadan is around the corner and we are still displaced from our homes and our families are torn apart. We have nothing to eat for iftar. I'm originally from Gaza. I've lost 37 members of my family. They were so close to my heart. Every time I remember them, my gut is wrenched and I become so sad and furious.
With markets destroyed and goods scarce, Gazans don't know where their iftar meals will come from, which means more suffering and agony. The vast majority of the people live in small tents amid the starvation that has already claimed the lives of several Palestinian children.
The situation in Gaza is very difficult. There is no food. The people are struggling to find anything to eat with flour scarce. Here in the south, they queue in long lines for food. Even those who attempt to get anything from the aid trucks are putting their lives at risk as Israeli soldiers open fire on them. I don't know what we're going to do in Ramadan.
Palestinians' catastrophe doesn't stop with the loss of their relatives. It is deepened by the full-scale destruction that has become palpable in every corner of Gaza, including mosques, which means they won't be able to say their prayers and worships as usual. Even if their mosques hadn't been destroyed, it would still be impossible for them to perform their prayers under the incessant Israeli bombardments.
The humanitarian conditions are completely disastrous. The people were displaced from several parts of Gaza, including the northern and central areas of the Strip. It is literally catastrophic. There is no source of income or food, and the people are completely relying on the small amounts of donation provided by limited numbers of charity institutions. In addition to that, mosques have been completely destroyed by Israeli warplanes and we will never be able to pray in them.
While some aid has been trickling into Gaza, it's minuscule compared to the needs of the Palestinians. With Ramadan arriving, more assistance cannot come soon enough for them.
As the whole Muslim nation welcomes Ramadan, Palestinians are wondering why they have been abandoned by many Muslim leaders to face the Israeli campaign of death and starvation. To Abu Musabbih, the central area of Gaza Strip.
Join us in this journey.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Through both their statements and their silence, leading European thinkers have exposed Western racism. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, En Berara is an Israeli expression that is used to depict the persistent destruction, ethnic cleansing, and now genocide of indigenous Palestinians as acts of self-defense for which there is no alternative. The International Court of Justice recently affirmed the real and imminent risk arising from South Africa's allegations that the Zionist regime is committing genocide in Gaza. This did not unfold in a vacuum. Such outcomes are inherent to the settler colonial structure of elimination imposed on Palestine by Euro-American imperialism. As detailed in South Africa's application to the ICJ, decades of Israeli colonialism led to the state reaching its genocidal moment. In 2006, Patrick Wolf, a distinguished scholar of settler colonialism, considered genocide to be plausible in Palestine. He saw compelling indications of genocidal dynamics through the Zionist regime holding the Palestinian population captive in the occupied West Bank and Gaza. Although universally recognized as the crime of all crimes, genocide represents just one of many atrocious manifestations of settler colonial violence, which is leveraged to seize land and dispossess indigenous owners. There is an army of not just troops, but also philosophers, ethicists, who moralize and justify colonialism as acts of embrera, or no choice. This notion is deeply entrenched in Euro-modern colonial knowledge, which has criminalized and deprived colonized peoples of ontological resistance so that their souls, psyches, and identities can be reshaped to suit the colonizers' schemes, as Franz Fanon reminds us in Black Skin, White Masks. This mechanism of self-vindication denies colonized people the rights to self-defense and resistance to preserve and reclaim their humanity. Instead, it transfers guilt onto the victims. The Spanish conquistadors considered the deaths and calamities they inflicted on the indigenous peoples of South America as their own fault for standing in the invaders' way. Philosopher George Hegel asserted that Africans were guilty because of their innate contempt for humanity, which made them susceptible to being shot down by thousands in war with Europeans. Similarly, the Zionist regime holds Palestinians condemnable for having forced Zionist settlers to kill them, as suggested by former Zionist regime Prime Minister Golda Meir. In the 21st century, leading European thinkers associated with the Frankfurt School of Critical Theory insist on reminding us of the indivisibility of European modern ethics and coloniality. Jürgen Habermas, a prominent European philosopher, and others expressed solidarity with the Zionist regime in mid-November while genocide was clearly unfolding in Gaza. Habermas based his stance on the contrived accusation that the resistance group Hamas intends to eliminate Jewish life in general, implying that the Zionist regime had no choice but to retaliate in the manner it has. The resistance group Hamas, which is proscribed as a terrorist group in the UK and other Western regimes, has on several occasions affirmed that it does not wage a struggle against the Jews because they are Jewish, but wage a struggle against the Zionists who occupy Palestine. Other critical philosophers, including Celia Ben-Habib, have echoed the Zionist regime's allegations on the killings of babies, burning people alive, and ritual murder, which have been debunked as fabricated propaganda. Truth, facts, proof, objectivity, context, and history apparently have no place when Eurocolonial interests are at stake. Amid the clamor of dehumanization, Palestinians, like all colonized people, have been stripped of their rights on the ontological resistance and self-defense. Palestinian life has come into conflict with white supremacy and the West's desire to atone for its own anti-Semitism and the genocide of European Jews. Consequently, Palestinians have become the embodiment of the damned of the earth of the 21st century, literally forced out through genocide and ethnic cleansing. Both Palestinians and Jews were singled out in the statement by Habermas and his colleagues. While the latter were deemed worthy of special protection, the former was silenced and removed from the sphere of human dignity and concerns about the democratic ethos of the West. This represents two faces of the same racist and dehumanizing idea that has historically pitted supposedly inferior groups, including Jews and Muslims, designated as Semitic peoples against the self-declared superior European Aryan race. Evil might have changed its form, but not its racist essence. Palestine is the ethical battleground of our time, where the racism inherent in Euro-modern colonial knowledge is dissected, exposed, and resisted. This knowledge system, whether by justification or through silence, echoes the historical pattern of colonial atrocities across the global South, including the unfolding genocide in Palestine. In this light, as eloquently articulated by ethics professor Wael Hallaq, the Palestinian experience of colonial life and death encapsulates the global issue of ethics and knowledge.
Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means to appoint.
Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed.
His decree, though.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Foresight, and I'm your host, Mehdi. Please stay with us. كل شيء ومليك يا رب كل شيء وسانع يا خالق كل شيء ووارث. Today's tip: what are we learning in the holy month of Ramadan as regards to our ubudiyah, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah? Ramadan. So dear listeners, we are in the holy month of Ramadan. What a beautiful month to be able to witness. May Allah give us the grace and the blessings to be able to witness other holy months of Ramadan in our lifetime, and may we be able to fully benefit from the holy month of Ramadan. So what are some of the things that we are learning in the holy month of Ramadan when it comes to our ubudiyah, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah? So first and foremost, you know, we are learning to detach ourselves from the very materialistic aspects of ourselves and the materialistic aspects of the world, right? Food and drink is considered to be the most basic materialistic needs that a human being needs, right? And so when we detach ourselves and we break the control of this materialistic variables upon us, then we become free. We are able to fly, if you will, spiritually and metaphysically speaking. And so, first and foremost, in the holy month of Ramadan, we are learning to detach ourselves from these materialistic aspects. Of course, when you detach yourself from the materialistic aspect, you are able to connect to the divine, the spiritual realm, the metaphysical realm. You are able to strengthen your ruh, your spirit or your soul, as it is known in different interpretations. So is this detachment from these materialistic things. And of course, as we have spoken on many occasions on our program regarding ubudiyah and the worship and the servitude and the obedience to Allah, is that if we are to have a sincere and pure ubudiyah, then one of the integral aspects is that we have to cut ourselves from the materialistic chains that hold us down. We cannot really involve ourselves in a pure form of ubudiyah if we are attached to the materialistic realm and the materialistic variables. Now, this is not just limited to food and drink. Of course, food and drink is the most basic and perhaps the strongest and the most necessary of all of these materialistic aspects. But, you know, the other, you know, variables and the other branches of these materialistic aspects, you know, wealth and power and money and women and clothes and jewelry, I don't know, cars and mansions and shoes and watches and all these kind of different things. These are different manifestations of these materialistic aspects which we are trying to rid ourselves from and detach ourselves from in the holy month of Ramadan. And so when we realize that we are able to detach ourselves from one of the strongest materialistic aspects of our being, food and drink, then these other materialistic aspects are much easier for us to detach ourselves from.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Mannan,
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
This question comes up, especially when we talk to those who have never heard about Islam, don't know much about Muslims. And when you say that we have to fast for 30 days in the month of Ramadan, from dawn to dusk, not even allowed to drink water, for them it's a very difficult issue to digest. And they say, you know, why do you go through hunger and thirst for 30 days? Why do you go through this struggle and hardship or suffering? The reasons can be given of different kinds. You know, if you just look at the benefits which have been described from different dimensions. Just recently, this month of June, on the 5th of June, there was a report from the scientists of the University of South California, where after their observation and research, there was a very interesting statement where they said, fasting for as little as 3 days can generate the entire immune system. even among the elderly ones. Now remember, 3 days minimum fasting. It's interesting that when we look at many of the sunnat fasts that we have, besides the month of Ramadan, you know, 13th, 14th, 15th, or Laylatul Raghaib, it's again 3 days. Many other nazar that people do, it's 3 days. And it's interesting that, you know, the scientists there, they say this regenerates the immune system, even among elderly. They further said that the discovery could be particularly beneficial for people suffering from damaged immune system, such as cancer patients who are on chemotherapy. And so, yes, there is a medical benefit to fasting, no doubt about it. On social level, you know, this is an opportunity of helping those who are less fortunate in the society. The issue of fitra is actually a sign of that. Because when we are hungry and thirsty, we can relate more to the poor and the needy in the community. According to our ahadith, one of the benefits of fasting is that the gap between the rich and poor is reduced. Not totally, but it is brought closer.
With hope in our eyes, we search through the skies, waiting for our old friend. With loved ones nearby and our spirits high, a blessed time we'll spend. In both love and in fear, to Allah we draw near, hands raised to the sky. Oh Allah, please forgive us and guide us to paradise. Ramadan.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about some of the things that we are learning in the holy month of Ramadan. And of course, these are things which we should continue throughout the year. And, you know, perhaps it's not a bad idea to have a little notebook handy and write some of these things, you know, in the notebook that we are learning in the holy month of Ramadan that we would like to continue on through the rest of the year. So the first thing which we learned and we are learning in the holy month of Ramadan, of course, is this detachment from the materialistic aspects of ourselves and the materialistic aspects of the world. This is really one major thing that we are learning, and it is directly connected to ubudiyya, because true ubudiyya, this pure, sincere form of worship and servitude and obedience to Allah, can only come about with a detachment from these materialistic things which take us away from the love of the Almighty Allah. Of course, another one of the things that we learn in the holy month of Ramadan is how strong we are. Of course, refraining from food and drink and going about our daily activities as routine while fasting. So going to school, going to work while fasting, these all really show this great power and this untapped potential that every single one of us as a human being has. And the holy month of Ramadan really shows us this, that we are able to involve ourselves in and conduct and perform this very high level of ubudiyya and this high level of worship, servitude, and obedience to Allah. A lot of times we don't understand how profound the essence of fasting is and how valuable it is. We kind of, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but in reality, fasting, especially in the holy month of Ramadan, is considered to be perhaps one of the ultimate peaks and the ultimate summit of the ubudiyya and the worship and the servitude and the obedience to the Almighty Allah. It is something that is definitely very honored, it is very blessed, it is very righteous, it is very noble. And as Allah says, that the reward is Allah for this fasting. One last thing before we run out of time on the program that we learn in the holy month of Ramadan as regards to our ubudiyya is this idea that we establish a connection and a relationship with the Almighty Allah. This is one of the fundamental things that is trying to be achieved in this holy month of Ramadan. Right, not eating, not drinking, detaching ourselves from our materialistic aspect, detaching ourselves from the materialistic world and its various variables, increasing our spiritual strength, purifying our ubudiyya, our worship, our servitude, our obedience to Allah, and performing a ubudiyya and performing a worship and servitude to Allah in the form of fasting in this very holy month. All of these things and the other things that, you know, are being done in this holy month is for us to be able to establish a connection with the Almighty Allah. That is the ultimate purpose, and that is something which, inshallah, we hope to continue in our ubudiyya, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah in the rest of the year, and inshallah, in the rest of our lives. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. رمضان هل هلاله فاستبشروا بطلوعه وبصومه وصلاته وبذكره وخشوعه فاضت علينا رحمة بالخير من ينبوعه قد عاد يشرق بالهدى يا مرحبا برجوعه رمضان أقبل بالمسرة بعد طول مغيبه رمضان أقبل والأحبة بشروا Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.